Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet, that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. All right, it is the Prayer Closet, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. If you have a prayer request today, let us know what it is. Whether big or small, it does not matter. We want to pray for you. So we will bring it before the Lord together. Don't bear that burden alone. And remember, we always keep our prayer requests anonymous as well. We never give out your name or information. If you have, you know, a concern about that, and it's like, well, that's kind of personal, that's okay. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call or text in. God knows who you are, and that's what matters. We just want to pray for you. So don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we have to come and join together and pray, to lift each other up, to pray for one another, to encourage each other, to help one another. Lord, as we pray together, we pray that you will indeed move with power and might in our hearts, that we would experience you in all your fullness and all your goodness, that you would help us, Lord, in this day. Help those who are calling in with their requests. Help those who are calling in with their needs. Lord, that they would see your power and your work at work in their lives. They would experience your goodness in a way that results in praise and glory to you and an increase in faith for them. Lord, that you would encourage us by your might and by your spirit. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you. You're such a good God. You're such a gracious God. You're such a loving God that cares for us and does good things for us. And we give you all glory and honor and praise because you indeed are worthy, Lord. You're worthy of our praise, worthy of our honor, worthy of our worship. And we grant it all to you and pray that indeed your name be lifted above every other name and exalted in all the earth. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer request, we always like to get into the Word of God. We've been looking at the life of Abraham. He's still Abram. God has not yet renamed him. So he's still Abram in our story. But Abraham is one of my heroes of the Bible. I just think he's an amazing man of faith. He did more with less than anybody. When you consider that, you know, he didn't have a Bible, that there was no established religious practices, the law had not yet been given. All he had were oral stories telling about this God. And yet, based on that, he uproots his entire life to follow God. And yesterday, we looked at God's renewal of the covenant with Abram in chapter 15 of Genesis, and how God promises him he'll have children. And Abram says, he's lamenting to God a little bit that, you know, how will this prophecy be true? I don't have an heir. I'm going to have to leave everything to my servant. And God says, no, that man will not be your heir. You will have an heir. You will have a son who will come from your own body. It will be from your line, your blood. You will have this son. Despite the fact that Sarah was barren, couldn't have children, Abraham's well into his 70s. At this time, maybe into his 80s at this time, it seems impossible. The Bible says that nonetheless, Abraham believed God and God credited it to him as righteousness. So yesterday we looked at Abraham, and once again, he's hearing this promise from God. God had made a promise. He led him to the land, but he still doesn't have this heir. And so much of the promise was this heir. And God promises him an heir and descendants beyond counting. And Abraham believes him. So we're going to pick up the story today in chapter 16. Because shortly after this, or sometime after this, we see, you know, maybe that faith faltering a little bit. In chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. And she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah's wife took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. And when she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, 'You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me.' 'Your servant is in your hands,' Abram said. 'Do with her whatever you think best.' And Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her."
So here we have Sarah coming to Abram. Notice it says they've been in the land 10 years. He's been in the land 10 years. It's been 10 years since God, or longer, because, you know, he had to travel to the land as well, so it's probably been more than 10 years, that God has made the promise to Abram. Leave this land, go to land I will show you, I'm going to give you an inheritance, I'm going to give you descendants. 10 years has passed and still nothing. No children, Nothing. He's gotten to the land, right? God has shown him the land. He's seen the promised land, but he's living there, but he's not, still doesn't have an heir. And really, that's, everything's about the heir. I mean, the land's great, but if there's not an heir to inherit it and to carry on Abraham's bloodline, it, I mean, everything kind of falls apart at that point. And so 10 years has passed and still nothing. And God, you know, shows up every once in a while and says, hey, Abram, don't worry. I'm gonna still remember that. I'm going to give you your heir. Keep hanging in there. And Abram keeps waiting. Still no heir. What's he going to do? So finally, Sarah comes to him and says, enough, right? Look, God has not given me any children. I can't conceive. Therefore, take my maidservant Hagar and conceive through her. And then we can maybe build a family with her. And Abram, what he should have said was, no, 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 we can't do that. God has promised us an heir, and he's promised it many times, and he's going to fulfill that promise, and we just need to be patient. We need to wait on the Lord. That's what he should have done, but we know that's not what he did. Instead, he agrees, right? He says, okay, I'll do that. He agrees to Sarah's plan, and Sarah gives him Hagar, and he sleeps with her, and she gets pregnant. And, of course, immediately everything goes bad. Hagar begins to resent Sarah. Sarah begins to resent Hagar. Hagar says she's superior because now she's carrying the child, you know, the child of the inheritance. And so she's in good shape. And Sarah's resentful of that. And she's resentful of Sarah. And she's treating Sarah disrespectfully. And Sarah starts mistreating her, treating her poorly. I'm sure there's resentment. There's jealousy, right? Because let's be honest, she gave her husband another woman to sleep with. Can't imagine that had a positive impact on the marriage. And then now this woman's pregnant and she's going to have the son, and it's like, ugh. And immediately everything just gets messy. So bad that eventually Hagar flees and runs away. And as we've seen before, Abraham, who so often has such great faith, but also is human and has his moments of doubt as well. And here he falls into that trap that I think a lot of us fall into, and that we decide to help God along with his promises. We decide to give God a helping hand. We're going to help people out here a little bit. God needs a little help. God needs a little hand in working this out. How many times in your life God's given you a plan or a promise? Said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to help you in your finances. I'm going to help you with your job. I'm going to help you with this or that. And we're like, okay, that's great. God's promised this. And it doesn't happen right away. And we decide, well, maybe God just needs a little help to get that thing done. And we start meddling. We start doing stuff that God hasn't asked us to do to help him along. Give him a little hand. He's busy. He's got a lot going on. Let's just get a little hood. Little help, little hand. And immediately everything gets messed up, right? Immediately everything gets screwed up. My kids love to help me in the kitchen. They're starting to, you know, my middle son and my daughter, they like to help cook. I do most of the cooking at home, and so they always like to help out, which is great. And I like having them help out. And when I give them jobs to do and they do those jobs, everything's great. Every once in a while, they'll decide to take on some projects on their own. They're going to help out a little more. And my daughter's 4, my son's 11, so, you know, they can do different things, and they're not quite ready to do everything. And so sometimes they'll help, and that help becomes a bit of a hindrance, if you will. Because if they do the things I ask them to do, I say, you know, do this or cook that or, you know, put this in the pot, put that in the pot, mix these things together. And if they follow those directions, we're fine. Everything's good. When they start freelancing, things can get a little dicey. And sometimes you have to start over, and sometimes you have to throw a little portion of it out and do it again because things got messed up because they didn't follow along the plan. And that's so often what happens with God. You know, he's given us promises. He's gotten things that he's going to do, but they don't happen fast enough for us, or we want to help out more, or we want to do more, and we start getting in there and doing things that God hasn't asked us to do. He hasn't instructed us to do, and we mess things up. You know, when God gives us promises, there's usually stuff that he's going to call us to do and things we need to be about. And we need to focus on those things and do those things with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But we also don't want to go beyond those things that he's given us to do. But that's always the temptation. You know, if I could just, I can get this to happen right now. I can get this to happen right away because we get impatient. It's understandable why Abram and Sarah would be a little impatient with the Lord. It's understandable why they might think that God has forgotten about them. They've been there 10 years. They've been waiting a long time for this child. You know, it was an impossible promise when it was given. 10 years have passed. Nothing's happened. It's only gotten harder. It's only gotten less likely to happen. It's understandable that they would try to take things into their own hand. We can understand the impulse, but it turns into a grave mistake. And all it does is bring resentment and tension and problems. And now God's got to come in and clean that up. Now God's got to get that straightened out before he can move on with the rest of his plan. Usually when we try to involve ourselves and help God along and speed things up, all we do is delay things. Because now we've created a bigger mess. Now God's got to come in and clean up that mess before he can move on to get us to where he wants us to be and fulfill the promise to us. And our attempt to speed things along usually just slows things down and messes things up. It's a hard thing sometimes to wait on the Lord. It's a hard thing when God has promised us stuff and we don't see it happening. And we begin to wonder, is he really going to do it? And maybe I should help this along. Or maybe I should do that along. Especially if it's something we really want. I mean, Abram and Sarah, man, they really wanted a child. I mean, this was not just like, oh, that'd be cool if it happens. It's like, we need a child. This is so important. They desperately wanted a child. So you can understand, 10 years, that's a long time to wait for something you really, really, really want. And sometimes God promises us stuff, and it's like things we really want, dreams we have, and God says, yes, I'm going to bring that to fruition. We're like, oh, this is going to be so awesome. And then it's like, why is it taking so long? I'll help God along. Try to speed things up. And all it does is slow us down and slow God down and throw monkey wrenches into things. And God's got to clean and mix, come and clean up those messes and fix things. And trusting and waiting in the Lord. Sometimes it's the hardest thing we have to do. Waiting for him to bring those promises about at the right time and in the right way. You know, so often when God promises stuff, it's not just stuff to us he's promised. There's other things that he has to arrange and organize to get to that point where he's ready to fulfill that promise to us. Because that promise usually involves lots of other people. And he's got to pull all those threads together. And while sometimes we don't understand why the wait is, it's always necessary. God's not waiting because he's just lazy or procrastinates or doesn't get around to it. He's waiting because he needs to happen in the right time. And sometimes that time's longer than we think or want. But that's why we need to wait and have patience. Sometimes our greatest faith is exercised when we are waiting on the Lord. You know, not believing the promise, not trusting in it, but waiting for it. We believe it's going to happen. We trust in it, but we're sick of waiting. Let's just get this done with. And those are the moments, and those moments of waiting that we sometimes are the greatest challenge to our faith. It was a challenge to Sarah and Abram. They didn't pass with flying colors here. It's okay. God's going to come in. He's going to fix this. He's gracious. He's not going to cut off the promise that he made to them because they kind of messed things up a little bit. The promise is still in effect, but it does cause problems with long consequences. We don't have time to get into all those. We're feeling the consequences of that even today, of this decision. And they're not good. So let's be patient. Let's wait upon the Lord. Sometimes the hardest faith to exercise is the faith of waiting. But sometimes that is also the most necessary. We'll come back with your prayer request, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. It is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And got a couple of requests in. This one came in earlier. Listener asking for prayer for a very good friend of theirs. His dad passed away this morning after a hard fight with cancer. They are faithful Christians, but it's never easy to lose a family member. Dear Lord, we do lift this family up to you. We pray for them in this time of their loss. So Lord, we thank you that they have a faith in you. We thank you that they have that sure knowledge that their dad has gone on to be with you and that they will see him again. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort them with the hope of the gospel. You would comfort them with the hope of this good news that he lives now in your presence and that they will see him again and that they'll find comfort in this. But Lord, we know this time of separation is hard and difficult. And the time of loss is hard and difficult. So be with them as they go through this. Comfort them, strengthen them, encourage them. And we pray that your hand would be upon them in this time. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Another listener writes in, says, my boyfriend's dad had his appendix removed last week and was hospitalized this week to find it had previously burst. The hope is that he comes home today or tomorrow, but there's no guarantee that he will be able to come home anytime soon due to fluid buildup in his gut. Prayer for his recovery. And for God's hand to be on his son as he struggles. Lord, we pray for this man as he's struggling to recover from this appendicitis and the burst appendix. And Lord, we know that can be a very dangerous thing. So we pray that they're able to clear all this out of his gut and clear everything out of there, that there be no further infections or problems. Lord, we pray that he would be able to come home soon, that they would get this under control quickly. Pray for his son is struggling with this. Lord, that you would encourage him with your spirit to remind him that you are watching over his dad, you are watching over his health, and you are protecting him. So Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon them and that as they see your hand move in healing fashion and as they see you move in the life of his dad to bring him home and to bring healing to him, Lord, that their faith would be built and encouraged and strengthened and they would give praise and glory to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have a prayer request, you can get that to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's somebody here would be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. And you can always get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session by going to our website, yeshome.com, and clicking the Chat Now button. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.